This is Carnaval, Haitian rhythms and the music of New Orleans. I'm your host, Layla McCalla. In this hour, we go deep into the music of Haiti, including the voodoo cosmology at its heart.
Voodoo affects daily life and how even if you're sitting there shelling peas, you can be singing to the spirits.
The artists and musicians who use their platform to inspire and empower the people.
And Haiti is really the weapon for revolution.
Haitians are looking for that parable that's going to help them get through the smoke and help them get through the night.
And the sounds and rhythms that connect Haiti and New Orleans, the living and the dead, the present with the past.
The first thing that I hear going into the airport is a banjo, and it sounds like the banjo playing that I grew up with as a kid in New Orleans.
All that coming up next in this hour of Carnaval, Haitian rhythms, and the music of New Orleans. Stay with us. Nearly every Sunday in New Orleans, when there's not a pandemic, a brass band leads hundreds, sometimes thousands of people in a procession through the city's streets. It's called a second line parade because the musicians lead the way for the second line, the crowd that's following right behind. A wall of dancers following a wall of sound, a party in motion where the boundaries between performer and participant blur. The rhythm of the music summons the spirits of the ancestors. There's nothing more New Orleans than this sacred weekly ritual. Even if you've never set foot in the Crescent City, you know our music, our parties, our parades. You know about the beads, gumbo, and the French Quarter. But what's behind all these traditions? Why is the cultural heart of the city the way it is? Why are we the way we are? This is the sound of dancers, drummers, and other members of the Crew du Carnaval, an organization dedicated to nurturing the connections between New Orleans and Haiti.
Because of Crew du Carnaval, there is now a conversation that is taking place in our city.
This is Ben Jaffe. With his huge curly hair and big round glasses, he's one of the most recognizable people in the city. Ben is the creative director of the legendary Preservation Hall Jazz Band.
We're a city that struggles with its identity, and it's not a conversation piece because it's painful for a lot of people. You know, it's painful for me to even think about, you know, and I was born here, but I'm not from here. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not like fifth or sixth, eighth generation New Orleanian, you know, I'm like first generation, you know, my parents are from Philadelphia.
The pain Ben's talking about goes deep, all the way back to when two French colonies thrived just 1,000 miles away from each other, New Orleans and Saint-Domingue, what we now call Haiti. As we've said, those connections are alive in the DNA of New Orleans, on the surface, too.
Other than the architecture and the food and the music, and other than that, it's pretty subtle.
That's Win Butler. He's the frontman of the rock band Arcade Fire. He lives in New Orleans with his Haitian-Canadian wife, Regine Chassagne. Wynne and Regine said a big reason they settled in New Orleans was to dig deeper into the cultural life the place shares with Haiti.
No, that looks the same, way of cooking, same Mardi Gras, same like religious underpinning, like Catholicism mixed with kind of African religion and voodoo. And it's kind of like there's a kind of tourist version of it, but then it's actually just in the society as well. I mean, you kind of, particularly this time of year, this whole month leading up to Mardi Gras, you just hear it in the streets, you hear it at nighttime, you hear the language, you hear the Mardi Gras Indians singing, it's kind of all around you.
Spiritual connection.
Regine and Wynne became fast friends with Ben from Preservation Hall through their mutual love of music and culture. They decided to travel together to Haiti. Wynne says it was Ben's first time there.
And I remember when we first got to the Central Plateau, there was a brass band that kind of played for us when we got there. it sounded like if you got in a time machine and went to New Orleans pre-swing, like pre-jazz New Orleans, and it's pretty powerful.
The architecture, the food, and the people reminded Ben of home.
When we walked out of the plane and the air hit me, I began to cry. I had never had that happen to me before. We walk into the airport, and the first thing that I hear going into the airport is a banjo. And it sounds like the banjo playing that I grew up with as a kid in New Orleans.
That experience was so potent that Wynn, Regine, and Ben immediately started dreaming up a way to make these connections come alive at home in New Orleans. So they co-founded Cru de Carnaval in 2017.
In New Orleans, there are so many, and in Haiti, there are so many various groups that are working on this all the time.
Again, Regine Chassagne.
Dance troupes, drummers, associations of this, associations of that. So, okay, so when I came to New Orleans, I would go to Mardi Gras, and all these influences that I recognize in the city all year long, when I go to Mardi Gras, like the Main Street Mardi Gras, I don't see them.
Regine said she felt like the city could do more to acknowledge the Haitian part of its identity.
And for me, it's just taking this opportunity that we have push this forward so that all these groups and organizations that are saying the same thing for forever get us a highlight and show the beautiful culture that everyone is proud of anyway.
The Cru de Carnaval celebrations feature street parades, parties, and concerts. Bands from Haiti perform alongside musicians from New Orleans. Their sounds effortlessly mixed together. It's a great party.
We came the first time, everybody was like so amazed to be here, and then every corner there is like kids, you know, someone with a saxophone by itself in a corner. I'd be like, whoa, because in Haiti it's the same thing, you know, everything we do it's with music.
This is Steve Valcourt, the leader of La Cue Musique, an up-and-coming band from Jacmel, Haiti, composed of all-star players from that region. The band's name combines two concepts. La Cue are extended family compounds that developed after the Haitian Revolution. La Cue refers both to the physical design, a group of houses around a central courtyard, and also to the family group itself. And musique is shorthand for musique racine, or Haitian roots music. They first visited New Orleans in 2017 to play Cru de Carnaval. Steve says in Haiti, music is everywhere.
You know, when you do chores, when you plant, when you know, when you work the earth, when you go, you know, you do mechanic, you'll be like, you know, everything you do, you have a song that you mumble or something that helps you going. So it's like everything we do, it's with music. So that's what amazed me when I get here. I was like, yes, but every corner there is music. So I felt like home.
That feeling is mutual. A shared history cements that bond.
Migration from colonial Saint-Domingue into New Orleans really did provide this infusion of African presence, African music, African dance, and it really solidified some of what was already here and then brought some new influences.
Angel Parham teaches sociology at Loyola University in New Orleans.
In the rest of the United States, you didn't have the dancing and drumming traditions that you did in New Orleans, right? So with this new influence in 1809, it meant that the Anglo-Americans, again, could not stamp out that African influence as easily as they might have wanted to. Because now you've got this whole group coming in from colonial Saint-Domingue, and many of those folks were Africans, you know, that is, they were born in Africa. So you also get that in the preservation of the very distinctive rhythms we have here in our second lines, for instance.
Angel says that if you take a close listen to second line music and observe the intricate dance moves that go along with it, you begin to see the patterns of history.
You're going to hear a lot of similarities in the underlying beat. And see some similarities also physically in the kind of dancing and the footwork. So those are, again, those are layers that you see that are retained in the soundscape, in the dance, in the architecture, and then also in race as well.
Those similar patterns also bleed into the politics of the culture. In New Orleans, social aid and pleasure clubs date back to the late 19th century. African Americans created them out of necessity and fellowship. These clubs raise money for their members' needs, critical to the community when banks didn't lend to Black people. They're also cultural links to the ancestors in Africa and the Caribbean.
I'm a member of a social aid and pleasure club, which is a parading organization known as Black Men of Labor. And we, you know, parade through the streets of the city and using traditional music and traditional dance styles.
Bruce Sunpie Barnes is a musician, park ranger, and writer based in New Orleans. Clubs like the Black Men of Labor organize and lead second line parades. They also facilitate social programs in their neighborhoods.
The appeal is to keep the tradition alive, first of all. The appeal is to understand and know how to connect directly with your ancestral spirits and your family members. Like it's a direct link. Can't get around it. That's exactly what we do. And then to be able to pass on social messages to the people in the city that we love so much, to denounce violence, domestic violence, violence against children, women, gun violence, drug violence, all those things that will expedite your ultimate demise.
Ben Jaffe told us the first time he went to Haiti's capital, he thought he stumbled on a social aid and pleasure club parade.
We were coming down the street, and I noticed a band marching in this sort of major boulevard, and they were wearing what we call in New Orleans traditional black and white, which is black pants, white shirt, and a black tie. In New Orleans, it also means a black cap, a black marching cap. And I noticed on the street, the entire street were funeral homes. And so I imagine that this band is there all day. And they, when there's a funeral, you know, whatever the owner of that funeral home probably, you know, negotiates with the band something, and they come over and they perform a ceremony for the departed, and do a procession like we do in New Orleans, you know.
Second lines and jazz funerals in New Orleans, rah-rah bands and bon-appied parades in Haiti. Ben told us that on his visit to Haiti, the music landscape felt beyond familiar.
You know, usually you go someplace, you visit someplace, and there's one thing that reminds you of home, you know? Here's, you know, it's like, whoa, man, it's not just a similarity, but it's a similarity to New Orleans 50 years ago or 100 years ago. That's what was blowing me away is somehow these valuable traditions are still carried on today with some awareness, but sometimes with no awareness that it's even a tradition. Is part of who they are. It's just, this is how it's done. This is how it's been done. This is how we're going to keep doing it.
So what are we really talking about when we talk about these shared traditions, the shared soundscape, these connections? To find out, we need to go to Haiti. We'll get back to New Orleans. You're listening to Carnaval, Haitian Rhythms and the Music of New Orleans. I'm Layla McCalla. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to Carnaval, Haitian Rhythms and the Music of New Orleans. I'm Layla McCalla. Rhythms create the foundation of Haitian music. These rhythms developed in Haiti during the colonial era trace their roots to pre-Middle Passage Africa, Maroon communities, and the indigenous Taino people. There are more rhythms than any one person can know, but the underlying system that we can use to understand them is voodoo.
Well, voodoo is a creolized and also a Christianized African-based religious system.
This is Liza McAllister. She teaches religion at Wesleyan University.
It has elements from the Spanish colonial Catholicism as well as French Catholicism, mixed with traditional Yoruba religion, Congo religion, the Fon religions of Dahomey, and other West African and Central African religious traditions. And this is a tradition that grew in Haiti from slavery times to the present. And it's really a full cultural system. We in the U.S. sort of call it a religion because we compartmentalize things. But it's a philosophy and a healing system and a religious system as well.
With Haitian voodoo, you have enslaved Africans brought from Senegal, brought from the Gold Coast, which is now Ghana, from the Togo and Benin area where voodoo comes from.
This is New Orleans-based voodoo drummer Logan Schutz.
But it's all practiced by drumming, dancing, and singing is what they have in common, except that the drums themselves are very different from each area. The songs are very different. Of course, the languages are very different. And so all those people were represented in Haiti. And all those traditions needed to be respected and maintained and preserved. And what that looks like now is that any one house of voodoo in Haiti has all these different nations inside of it. And each nation has a different set of drums that you would bring out for that part of the ceremony, and different songs and different what they call loa.
Haitians call their spirits loa. Different sets of loa exist in each nation, so there are different rhythms associated with these spirits.
Well, the ceremonies are absolutely beautiful.
Again, Liza McAllister.
And music is just one of the many components of the artistry in a voodoo service. Usually there's drumming, although not always, and it's the kind of three-drum battery drumming that you also find in West Africa. And then a chorus of call and response singers sings over the drumming. And this is one of the ways that the gods or the spirits, they're called loa or they're called angels, are invoked. And so each spirit has many, many songs that name their name. And during the course of a ceremony, each spirit is sung to in the hopes that the spirit will come down and possess one of the dancers.
Voodooists believe that life continues into death, that souls slip into the sea, and that families can summon them through music and ritual. This understanding of death keeps families linked to their ancestors through song, dance, and faith. Ogun is one family of loa. A woman wrote this song while she was possessed, and her granddaughter recorded it.
The woman who sings the song is the lead, one of the lead singers and a founding member of Boukman Experience, which is a band in Haiti that mixes traditional voodoo musics with sort of the pop codes of rock and roll. She wanted to show the listeners how voodoo affects daily life and how even if you're sitting there shelling peas, you can be singing to the spirits, which is very common to find, you know, somebody in Haiti just sort of sitting there and singing.
The singer Liza is talking about is Mimi Rose Beaubrun.
And she's singing a song which her grandmother first sang while she was possessed by a spirit. Apparently, the spirit came and possessed her grandmother and just began to sing this song. And the song says, Ogun, who's the spirit of war and iron and discipline, Ogun, roi des anges, which means king of the angels, those people say that they're going to do me in. Those people are my enemies. What's going to happen to me? Ogun responds and says, ah, That's a joke. That's a game. I'm here. I'm protecting you. The angels are around you. You don't have to worry.
Mimi Rose Beaubrun's band, Buchmann Experience, is legendary. They formed in the late 1970s, in the middle of Papa Doc Duvalier's brutal regime, and became the voice of the people. The band takes its name from Dudi Buchmann, a voodoo priest and a hero of the Haitian Revolution.
What he did, he unified the all slaves.
This is Theodore Lolo Beaubrun, Mimi Rose's husband and bandmate. From the yard of his house in Jacmel, Haiti, he talked to us on the anniversary of the ceremony that is said to have unified the enslaved people to begin the Haitian Revolution. Dudi Buchmann led that ceremony.
He make a speech to say that the God of the white want blood, but the real God of justice want us to deliver from the condition we are.
This revolutionary spirit inspired Lolo and Mimi Rose's band. Through music, Buchmann Experience resists oppression and delivers hopeful messages to the Haitian people. From the first time they took the stage in 1978, they were an instant hit.
From what he told me, he said he saw Bob Marley at Madison Square Garden and he could not believe it.
Lolo and Mimi Rose's son, Paul Beaubrun, was just a boy when they were getting started, but he remembers growing up wanting badly to be in the band. He says they made an instant impact because they created a brand new sound. They synthesized traditional Haitian music, musique racine, with electric sounds from farther north.
You know, because everyone was just electric, from the sound engineer, the lighting people, everybody was dancing to that music. And he's listening to, you know, he's a big fan, so he's listening to the bass line. And he's like, wow, you know, if he can do that with his music, we can do that with our music too. So that's what the inspiration of creating a style of music that's Haitian, pure Haitian, but, you know, you have other styles of music around it.
It's African deep inside from the soul. I realized that it's the only through voodoo we could be connected.
Chico Boye was a founding member and longtime bass player for Buchmann. He lives in Brooklyn now.
Racine music is based on our culture. It's our African culture, deep African culture. Because, you know, we've been studying all these rhythms. We get to the Laku, in the countryside, to learn from the peasants about the music, about the rhythm, about the culture and everything, because we are African.
Buchmann made its reputation performing at Carnaval in Haiti. Their songs became rallying cries. The band's first Carnaval hit, Qu'en pas sauté, helped topple a government.
The people didn't let us sing the music. They were singing the music like crazy.
Again, Lolo Beaubrun in his yard in Jacmel. He says the military was pulling out all the stops to prevent Buchmann Experience from playing.
12 days after the carnival, the people went on the street and peacefully they singing the song. And Pasote, they singing the song. And 12 days after, the General Avril, who were in power, without any bloodshed, left the power, without any bloodshed.
The song helped usher in a brief period of peace in Haiti.
This is the power of the music, you see. The spirit did that music. This is the spirit who did that music.
I don't know, I'm trying to compare it to like an American, like badass, like revolutionary point in time in music, but Buchmann definitely has been that over the years. Yeah.
Oh, Bob Dylan-y. a little like, you know, a little just like in your face, but also poetic and, you know.
These are my friends, Lori Martineau and Linda Reno. They run an organization called Haitian Nola. Lori was growing up in Haiti when bands like Boukman were getting big. They influenced more groups to use their music against the government, especially during Carnaval. She says people knew it took so much courage for these groups to speak out in such a loud public way.
It's scary. It's like they take what's happening politically and they like make jokes about it.
This is a 2020 Carnaval song.
This one's called Look. So the past, since kind of like November, December, the political problems, it's been called a lock, like a lockdown. The country was locked down. So this song is called Lock. And Haitians have a cultural habit of like, you can look at something and it could be so hard and painful and, you know, but they take it and they find a way to laugh about it. And like,
Boukman is a very specific type of band. So like the bands like Boukman tend to, you could always count on their songs being very political.
Nathalie Serrin is a musician and writer based in Philadelphia. She's the editor of Woy magazine, a publication that seeks to connect Haitians in the diaspora with those in Haiti. She grew up between Port-au-Prince and Philly, and she's always been obsessed with hearing the new music groups write for Carnaval season.
So I remember having Carnival's tunes about like inflation and we would be dancing and talking about like the value of the dollar and our buying power decreasing because of inflation, and Boukman singing about politicians abusing their power. And then there's, you know, there's other genres for sure, you know, like the compa groups.
Compa is a dance music genre that was born in Haiti. It fuses African rhythms with European style ballroom dancing. It's wildly popular all over the world. Compa features a steady, pulsing beat.
Compa groups tend to make up songs that have a lot of dance moves that go with them, you know. I remember one year there was the group T-Vice, which is arguably the most popular compa band, having a song called The Helicopter, and everyone would like take off their shirt and spin it around like a helicopter.
You write something, and then 10 million people are aware of it all of a sudden.
Richard Morse leads RAM, one of the most influential Haitian bands of the past 25 years. Although he spent his childhood in Connecticut, his mother, Emerant Morse, was a well-known Haitian folklorist. He says she made sure he was steeped in voodoo rhythms and traditional music. Before Carnaval, he feels a sensation way more intense than stage fright.
People are wondering, is he going to get in trouble? Are they going to get in trouble? You know, are they going to get killed? You know, when I was in a band in New Jersey playing clubs, I wasn't thinking that. But I didn't even speak Creole at the time. I didn't even know there was a Haitian audience, you know. This all just kind of like evolved. And suddenly people are interpreting all your songs. So when we wrote Faye, you know, yeah, the song, there are some lyrics that said, I only have one son, they made him leave the country. And then it's got this other thing that says, I'm a leaf on a branch, a bad storm came and knocked me down, the day I fall is not the day I die. Yeah, people can understand what that means or not understand or figure out how's that going to be interpreted. Well, the leaf on a branch, bad storm came and knocked me down, that became interpreted as a coup d'etat. Is that a stretch? I don't know. Haitians are looking for that. Haitians are looking for that parable that's going to help them get through the smoke and help them get through the night and help them understand where they stand.
Richard and his band outlived the death threats, and they've never stopped delivering their brand of political music. The band, including lead singer and Richard's wife, Lunice Morse, holds down a steady Thursday night gig at the historic Hotel Olufsen in Port-au-Prince, a gingerbread palace of a property that Graham Greene made famous in his novel, The Comedians, and that Richard bought in 1987.
Music in Haiti is really the weapon for revolution.
That's Maryse Dejean, an on-air personality at WWOZ, a non-commercial radio station in New Orleans. She grew up in Port-au-Prince.
If you are on the ground in Haiti, I think that you are constantly resisting. You're constantly figuring out how you are going to survive. There are levels of revolution, and I'm not talking, insurrection, etc. But, you have to really think every day, every moment when you are there about how you are going to survive, not just survive, but how you are going to thrive.
Maryse says music is central to life in Haiti. It permeates everything. And it always comes back to the rhythms.
Part of it is drawn from vodou, vodou rhythms. Part of it is a mix of what Haitian culture really is, the African nations, the influx of Spanish and English and French, and also the indigenous Taino people. There's a little bit of that in there as well. And yes, there are profound statements made, political statements, with the music.
This way of life resonates with the people of New Orleans. Take Louisiana 1927, a lament Randy Newman composed in the mid-1970s. At the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, New Orleans singer John Boutte performs it.
What's happened down here, y'all? The winds done changed.
Boutte repurposed the song as an anthem for the city after Hurricane Katrina in 2005. The chorus lyrics go, "They're trying to wash us away." A feeling that resonates with audiences thrashed by nature and a negligent, heartless government.
6 feet of water in the streets of the Lower Nile. The water rolls all day. The water rolls all night. Some people got lost in the flood. Some people got lost in the fight.
It's a song that stands the test of time in New Orleans. Music, spiritually connecting both places for 215 years and counting.
12 feet of water in the streets of the Lower Nile, Louisiana. Louisiana. Well, they try to wash us away. Don't let them wash us away. President Bush, y'all, flew over in an airplane with about 12 fat men with double martinis in their hands. President Bush said, great job, great job. What the levee has done, what the levee has done to this poor Creole's land. Louisiana, sing with me, hey! Louisiana!
You're listening to Carnaval, Haitian Rhythms and the Music of New Orleans. I'm Layla McCalla. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to Carnaval, Haitian Rhythms and the Music of New Orleans. I'm Layla McCalla. Like most people, I've spent a lot of time at home in 2020. Tour dates, recording sessions, an interactive theater show all canceled. The COVID-19 pandemic has forced us all to account for how we take care of each other, and it's underlined the local, national, and global inequalities that make it so difficult for so many people to thrive. I named my 2016 album after a Haitian proverb, "A day for the hunter, a day for the prey." The ethnomusicologist Gage Avril wrote a book with that title, and the phrase shook me. On one level, I heard it as one day for the oppressor and one day for the oppressed, a phrase that only survival during the experience of slavery could have produced. On another level, it made me think of the roles we all play throughout our lifetimes. This especially rings true now as I feel we live in a society that tells us that we need to do all of these things to take care of ourselves and our families, and then gives us so little of what we need to make that possible. Sometimes we're the hunter, and sometimes we're the prey. Day for the hunter, day for the prey. I wrote this title track thinking about refugees who travel by boat from Haiti to the United States. I was thinking about the desperation and vulnerability of the position they're in. I felt that this proverb really captures the essence of the Haitian spirit. To me, it's linked to the struggle for human rights. Every day, I'm thinking about how hard life is for so many in the United States and in Haiti. These Haitian proverbs resonate through time because the world has not fundamentally changed. There's just so much wisdom to be gained from Haitian culture.
We are in Ditmas Park, a beautiful area in Brooklyn. They call it a flatbush. And I've been living here for a while. Oh man, 22 years.
We met Chico Boye a little while back. He's one of the founding members of Vukman Experience. These days, in Brooklyn, he spends his time producing records, playing in Paul Beaubrun's band, and beekeeping.
They have a recording studio I've been using mostly for the Haitian community, but everybody's welcome. We bring everybody here, and we can make some nice noise. Better have the noise of the music than any other noise.
Paul released a critically acclaimed album in early 2020. It's called Rassemblement, or A Big Gathering. His band had been set to tour the world. Then, Chico says, the pandemic struck.
We lost the band, lost a lot of gigs. We have a lot of gigs.
After spending most of the first half of 2020 in lockdown, Paul and Chico decided to host weekly concerts in Chico's side yard. They called them Healing Saturdays.
And we decided, okay, we're going to bring the people to us and make them feel better. We know that not everybody get access to music. With the music, we could have self, you know, preserving our common sense and everything. We decided to spread it. And we said, okay, let's play some music for the neighborhood. And here we go. Everybody enjoys it.
These shows started off relatively small, but very soon they were attracting bigger crowds. Happy dancing people, safely distanced and masked.
The joy that I see in the face of those people coming here, that's what we want. Make people feel happy. For a few hours, they could forget their problem and everything. That's a goal. That was a goal. And we're going to keep going. And we feel good, you know, expressing ourselves and communicating, sharing what we have with this, our neighborhood, and they love it. Man, I'm so happy that we have done it. We learn from the pandemic. It's a lesson for everybody. I think everybody should learn from what's going on. We are living in a small world. We came from the same place. We're going to go back to the same place. What's going on in between? Let's make the world a better place tomorrow.
Paul Beaubrun echoes Chico's sentiment that Haitians are experts at finding ways to survive physically and spiritually.
We need music right now. Music is more important than any other time I can think of right at this moment we are living, because we are staying in our home almost all day, every day. What else are we gonna do? Music can help you change your mood. Music can help you with finding yourself and to be more comfortable. And music is extremely important at this moment.
People often use the word resilient to describe the people of Haiti. Same goes for the people of New Orleans. This word tries to acknowledge the massive challenges the people of these places have endured. The 2010 earthquake in Haiti that killed hundreds of thousands of people and displaced millions more. Hurricane Katrina in 2005, a disaster caused by a government-built levee system that catastrophically failed. All the systemic inequities, deep dysfunctions, and struggles people in these places had to endure before and in between. To outsiders, resilience might sound heroic. To people who have to hang in there, it can feel like living in a cage. Here's what people from Haiti want everyone else to know about their home.
First of all, we as Haitians do not see Haiti as the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere.
WWOZ radio host Maryse Desjean fled Haiti with her family when she was a child. Although she's lived in New Orleans for decades, she still feels most at home in the capital of Haiti.
It's a country that is very rich in culture. It's very rich in traditions, but living there as enslaved Africans was so brutal that it really didn't matter if the quest for independence seemed suicidal, because it would have been better to die than to continue under that brutal system.
Remember, she tells us, that France forced Haitians to pay reparations in order to remain independent after the revolution. That debt lasted into the mid-20th century.
I think that it's a country that's being systematically impoverished, but it is by no means the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Consider the resistance, the resilience, the strength of Haitian people who manage to make a lot out of very little every day. The sacrifices that parents make to try to get their children to school. You'll see school children who are beautiful, you know, with their uniforms clean and pressed. And then you see the areas that they come out of. You know that there's a lot of love there. And then the music that we hear that has influenced so much of the world for centuries.
I think Haiti is a real country of survival.
Band leader Paul Beaubrun.
Haitians, we've always had this view because of our ancestors from abolish, you know, slavery and all of that. That's in our DNA, you know, to make this world a better place through freedom, to expression, to culture, to music, to all of that. So I want the listeners to just go make a little research about Haiti, the beauty, and all of the things we've contributed to the United States, to a lot of country in Latin America, you know, all of the things we've contributed to the world.
Philadelphia-based writer and musician Natalie Serrin says the history and spirit of the Haitian Revolution inspires her to imagine a better world.
The leaders of the Haitian Revolution had to pull from their most radical imaginations because they never knew a world where slavery didn't exist. They didn't know a world where people who were taken from Africa and yanked to here could be autonomous and run their own country. They didn't let every single fact of reality that pointed to that being completely unrealistic stop them. They were like, we know we want to be free. What does that look like? How will that play out? It doesn't matter.
Natalie says reasonable people denounce dreams of a better world as radical. She adds that Haitians are better at that than anyone else.
How are we limiting even how we dream of things, right? Like, sit down, think about your neighborhood. In the most ideal world, what would funding go to in your neighborhood? What would a thriving community look like? Don't say what's realistic. Dream it. If our ancestors were thinking about what was realistic, the revolution wouldn't have started. They would start like some committee meetings with the enslavers and be like, hey, how can we work out y'all giving us a cent or two at the end of the day? No. They were like, we dream a world where slavery does not exist. I don't want to downplay the harsh conditions that are over there, you know? I don't want to be like those people who are like, we have to change the narrative of poverty, because poverty is very real in Haiti. That's very real. And that's something we need to pay attention to, and that's something we need a heart for. But I also want to always want to point to the beauty that exists. I always want to point to the brilliance that exists, you know, that the people who are imagining and fighting for new worlds, they still exist in Haiti, you know?
We call our family spirits to come out, invite them to come and embody us and take the streets of the city and wake the city up. Wake the world up is what he would call it. Yeah, wake the world up to a new carnival day.
Bruce Sumpai Barnes isn't only a world-class Zydeco musician. He's also the chief of the Northside Skull and Bone Gang, one of the oldest Mardi Gras groups in the city. It's been around since 1819, 15 years after the Haitian Revolution. Before the sun rises on Mardi Gras Day, Bruce and his crew don papier-mâché masks, gather in a cemetery, and sing and pray.
To look at a carnival in a context where it's not just one thing, it's not just all about being on a big float, nothing wrong with those, but the real beauty of carnival is like being on the ground, man. On your feet, in a neighborhood, masking, producing things that don't just let you get around and forget that carnival is still the shedding of the flesh. So you have to show the toughest parts of everyday life, just like you can show the beauty, and you can do both at the same time.
Bruce masks as the Loa Gede, the Haitian Lord of the Dead. We met his Haitian counterpart earlier during the Fête Gede in Jacmel. He says dressing this way every year reminds him of the strong African sensibility running through the veins of New Orleans and Haiti.
We need each other in so many different ways. And yeah, that's the beauty of being able to connect and keep those deep roots, especially right now with Haiti, when it comes to the head nod of what carnival is. You have someone masking that's given the most harsh political direct context about, let's just say, COVID-19, and someone giving the directness of pretending to be a king or queen or a rich executive, and it shows beauty and ugliness at the same time. And it's easy to have some fluidity and move between the two of those things at the same time. And it's the fact that you have that much variety gives people who come to visit much, much more than what they ever could dream up. Can't dream that fast or that wide and with that much variety.
Carnival is a very important tradition for us.
Again, Haitian musician Paul Beaubrun.
Carnival is a therapy for Haitians. It's like it's a time where people let everything out. It's a time you dance however you want to dance. You scream. Some people, you curse if you want, because you have to let your frustrations out. And it's that time. Everybody accepts it. That's the way it is.
Paul says Carnaval is a celebration of life, community, and belonging. An eruption of euphoria and beauty in good times and bad.
And at the same time, it's that time where, for us, you almost start your year because it's new. We call that boule. That means you're burning everything and then you start new.
Music is a form of prayer in New Orleans and across the sea in Haiti. It's an heirloom passed from our African ancestors to our forebears in Haiti, to the refugees who found their way to New Orleans. And music is central to the way people living in these places navigate this chaotic and messy world. The soundscape connects the living and the dead, the present with the past. Keep our country, keep our youth, keep our pride, keep our This hour of Carnaval, Haitian Rhythms, and the Music of New Orleans was written and produced by Alex Lewis. For more stories, visit our website at xpnkanaval.org. Carnaval has been supported by the Pew Center for Arts and Heritage. This project is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, on the web at arts.gov. Additional support from the Wincote Foundation. The executive producers are Roger LeMay and Bruce Warren, senior producer Alex Lewis, assistant producer Eve Abrams, editor Cheryl Duvall, mixing by Jeff Town. Our production assistant is Sam Kessler. Archival audio courtesy of NPR's Fresh Air with Terry Gross, the Studs Terkel Radio Archive, and the Radio Haiti Archive at Duke University. Music courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. Special thanks to Ben Jaffe, Mike Martinovich, and the rest of the crew at the Preservation Hall Jazz Band, Smithsonian Folkways, Linda Reno and Laurie Martineau of the Haitian NOLA Organization, Elizabeth McAllister, Paul Beaubrun, Zach Niles, and Jake Nussbaum. Carnaval is produced by WXPN in Philadelphia at the University of Pennsylvania and is distributed by NPR, National Public Radio. I'm Layla McCalla. Thanks for listening.